Welcome to today's episode of CLCI Live, brought to you by the award-winning and ICF-accredited school, Certified Life Coach Institute. Sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. Another exciting edition of CLCI Live. We started a little late. If you want to judge us for that, you have our permission.
Judge away. Go forth and judge. Before we get started, yeah, should we do that little thing that we do? Before we get started, friendly reminder, I am dark for some reason. It's hard. Out of focus. Don't judge. We can try to fix that, maybe. I don't know. Before we get talking about what we're going to talk about, I want to remind everybody out there in Facebook land to please like, follow, share, subscribe. Please click that subscribe button. Also, if you like this video, like it, share it. We need your support. So, and we appreciate it. And that's all for me, folks. What are we talking about?
We are talking about being judgmental and judgy and judges in a court of law. Anything else judge worthy, like judge on a panel for like a talent show, being a judge on that. Mm-hmm. Just judgment in general, but in regards to coaching specifically, how coaches judge their clients, how clients judge themselves, maybe how clients judge their coaches. I don't know. We're going to discuss it all.
Anybody here know what that means to be judged?
To be judged, I mean, has anybody been judged before?
Has anyone not been judged before?
I was getting like in a court of law. Have you judged anyone?
Oh
no, I haven't been there.
No. I mean,
although that's not true, I did have jury duty, and I did have to go in for that, but
yeah. So I guess the lawyers like would evaluate you and judge if you're a good fit for their case or not.
Yeah, we're talking like parking ticket status, you know.
But, oh, Jerome is silent.
Oh, no.
What happened? Oh, I think he hasn't been silent because he must be talking. So, Judge, have you had to be judged in the court? Anthony, since you brought that up.
No, I haven't. And if I have, I'm not going to disclose that on CLCI Live. you didn't do a background check on me. You even hired me.
Your judgment is not. I did. But I think we are all being judged all the time, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. That's just part of life. What is the definition of judgment? It's got such like a negative connotation. Like people immediately get like, oh, but I think I've come like full circle with judgment. Like I have liked it. I've been like, eh, I got tattoos so that people would judge me. I used to call my tattoos my armor because I wanted to keep people that would judge me away from me, for them away from me. And I would like, you know, if this makes you nervous, but this was back when tattoos were a thing. No, not a thing anymore. but I mean, my hands are tattooed and all of that. It has always been done in an effort to encourage judgment so that people with small minds would keep their distance.
But I think judgment and judgmental are different. Like judgment is more of a discernment. It's still opinion based, but it's more of a level playing field where I feel like judgmental is really somebody's negative opinion against somebody or something else.
I don't know if it's opinion based. It could be fact based. Like I'm making a judgment based off of evidence and things I'm seeing. So if I made a judgment about Brooke, she clearly has tattoos. I think it's the conclusion that you draw from all of the pieces of evidence and the things that you see and interact with a person or a thing that conclusion is the judgment, and that's usually positive or negative.
It's the baggage that comes along with an observation. It's like observation's baggage. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, as soon as you're giving your opinion or what have you, but that's really for me what it is. It's the baggage we bring to any sort of looking at any situation at any time. What is that sound?
Ooh, you just got echoey.
No, that was weird.
Is that because I popped in?
Sounds like we're under the ocean, or sounds like we're listening to a shell.
You guys can hear me though now, right?
Yes.
Okay, sweet.
Mm-hmm. Can I turn you down a smidge?
Hello, everybody.
What were you saying that whole time we couldn't hear you?
You can hear word. You were saying.
I was saying, I was trying to give my opinion on what being judgment, and then also I was speaking about fighting a parking ticket. So I was in what Anthony was speaking about. In that context, I have been judged. And the judge told me you're crazy, pay the full fine. Goodbye, get out of here.
Oh man.
So a judgment then also can sometimes come with a decision that needs to be made.
Well, that's sort of what I wanted to bring up, is there's like a finality that comes to with judgment for me. Like I think the reason people get pissed about judgment is it's like it feels like an opinion has been made and you have no option or ability to change that decision or that, you know what I mean? It feels like there's like this feeling of like finality to it. It also makes me excited because like the moment somebody puts me in a box, I'm like, look what happens. Watch me surprise you later. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to be caught with your pants down, scared because you put me in a box. Don't know what that means.
And now your pants are going to be down.
It's a saying, a term of phrase.
I feel bad for all the listeners from like who are international that aren't as familiar with your jargon. But anyways, yes, there is a degree of finality to it because like, let's say we've all been through this. And when I say we all, I mean us and the viewers, like a job interview. You are being judged and there's no really getting around it and you're being evaluated and there's going to be a judgment call at the end of an interview, whether or not you're hired or you're not.
We certainly judged Jen.
We did.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Not for very long though.
No, it was a quick decision. Oh. I think Didn't we ask if we could pull you back in like almost immediately afterwards?
I literally got off the Zoom call. Yeah. And not even 5 minutes later, you called and we're like, can you get back on the Zoom call? And I'm like, what? Thinking like, what is this?
And we're then, like, a new one. That's what we're
And then you were like, Anthony was like, you're hired. I'm like, what? It was so funny. It was so you guys. It was just like, I can't wait to be a part of this team. I love it already.
Jen was hired.
That wasn't my judgment call.
We certainly showed our hand very quickly there, didn't we?
Did you just say it wasn't your judgment call?
No, we had like five other people that we needed to interview that I had lined up, and I looked at their things and I judged them appropriately. Like, okay, yeah, we'll interview with these people. Lisa and Brooke didn't give a crap, and they're like, no, we're going with this person.
And how it worked out.
That was great judgment on our part.
Who knows how things could have gone? But yes, we're very pleased with the hire. Jen's great. Blah 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 blah.
But that is a good. I mean, you can apply this to relationships and dating. I mean, dating is voluntary judgment sessions, essentially. Like, right? That's what you're going in. You're being analyzed.
Checking basis too.
You're checking to see if everything's gonna fit right, and then I mean, so it's anytime we're sort of interacting with another human being, we are subject to judgment. Which is one of the reasons I think judgment gets a bad rap, personally, because I think it's good for us to have good judgment. And to go into situations and make wise decisions about the people we are around and the places we are putting ourselves. And But then there's all this big cliche around, or this colloquialism, there we go, around, I don't even think that's the right word. There's people got a chip on their shoulder about judgment and being judged and judgmental people. Where does that come from? Where does this, like, ugh, I hate judgmental people?
I'm going to probably say upbringing, for one.
Well, I feel like it's bullying, right?
Yeah, but it's bullying to, like, you can make a judgment about, like, somebody's, let's say, performance on, like, a job or something like that, a performance on a game. But you can also make a judgment about the person themselves. So instead of saying, like, Brooke, you did a bad job on the marketing and ad stuff, I could, you know, but I could, like, list the things that you can improve at. I could also say, Brooke, you did a bad job at this. You suck. That's my judgment on you, is that you are a bad person.
And that's that finality feels final. No, I'm not. No, I don't. What? Let me change your mind.
Some people, I'm going to say something that might anger some viewers, but some people live in households where it's more judgmental than others for very specific reasons. And that judgment is like a personal attack on, like, a person's character, morality. And that gives them a bad impression of judgment. And if you have to live with judgmental people all the time, and
Jen has a follow-up question. And I don't want to forget about Jen's follow-up question. It says you have a follow-up question, right?
Yes, I do. Thank you. You mentioned it's important to have good judgment. And so I'm wondering, what does everyone think good judgment for a coach looks like? How does that show up in sessions with
clients? That's a scary question, by the way. Like, just because there's a fine line, right? Because as a coach, we want to create a safe space, and we want there not to be, we don't want our clients to feel judged, I would think, for their choices and exploration and decisions. But we as coaches also have to have good judgment about things that our client, like areas maybe we should not be coaching or we should be coaching, or things that are outside of our realm of expertise, or even good judgment calls as to when to go deeper, when not to go deeper, when to ask a certain question, when to push, when to not push. I think, though, that feels to me, those kind of things feels to me like subtle judgment. Like,
to me, I would attach the word wise. I would attach the word wise. What you described is based on discernment and wise consideration, not just trying to put someone down, not trying to put someone in their place, not telling them they've done something wrong. Everything you described to me sounded wise.
Okay. Yeah. That falls in the definition of wisdom, along with, like, having experience and knowledge, which those things come with time. You're not going to, if you're a new coach, I very much doubt you're going to have excellent or good judgment right off the bat. Like, these things you've got to develop over.
I hope you would have, like, common sense, good judgment.
Yeah.
I hope if you've taken our classes, you've got even better judgment.
I'm talking about those subtle things, Brooke. I'm talking about, like, maybe knowing when to push or when to let the clients, you know, keep going. Maybe what kind of questions to ask. Those sort of very subtle refinements of coaching. Probably going to develop over the course of years and, like, a lot of sessions. If I'm thinking, like, a boom, first big judgment that a coach makes, maybe who they take on as a client before they even get into the session, is this person going to be the right client for me? Because I get the suspicion that a lot of coaches will just take whatever clients they can get as long as they can.
Is coaching, put down something, cash. Is coaching something I really want to do? I am a person that is so steeped in my advice, or am so tied to wanting to diagnose or give steps, and I really like the word coach but I really just want to consult. So I mean that we could talk about the precursor to coaching is having that judgment to know. And I think that there is, for it to be good, you're right, you do have to have a degree of experience or knowledge that has to come with it, because you would hope that somebody would do research before diving in and learn what coaching is.
But you know, coaching is also an unregulated field, which means people who don't have the best motives sometimes want that title of coaching to maybe, you know, use people as a means to an end.
And then I hope the clients have good judgment.
There you go.
And I want to provide them with tools.
That's part of our job, though, of like, I would assume the job of most coaching programs and people who talk about coaching in the ICF space is,
yeah, but
that knowledge so consumers can make good judgment calls on who their coaches should be.
We have that knowledge, but the sad thing is, and I'm not going to call anybody out, I'm not going to name names, I'm not going to
call them out
in this, but we have so many times gotten students who are coming from schools that are pretending to be something they are not, that are pretending to be ICF accredited, that are using language and the name International Coaching Federation to say that they are teaching the International Coaching Federation way, but without actually being an accredited organization. And the sad thing is, even though these students probably exercise good judgment when choosing the school, they probably, I would hope that they looked at the school, they said, oh, this feels like me, this feels like resonates with me, this program. And then they come to find out that it's not going to get them anything in the eyes of ICF. And then they end up coming to us because we are accredited, and we can get them through. But I always feel bad for those folks, because it's not that they weren't, I don't think that they weren't wise. I don't think that they weren't. I just think that there were basic, there's just sometimes things we don't know, right? And can we say that I have bad judgment because I don't know what I don't know?
No, I don't think so. Say that.
I'm going to disagree and say yes.
I would say no, because I think what defines judgment is comparing and contrasting. And if you don't have anything to compare and contrast, you don't have the full scale of context there. That doesn't make you a bad judge. It just means you're lacking in context. I personally, it's my
opinion. And if you do have context and you are measuring, you might not know, I guess I'm echoing, you might not realize what you're supposed to measure it against. So you could go into with those compare and contrast, like you were saying, and I could do all that research, but sometimes there's still that unknown until I learn.
I disagree.
Okay, go ahead, Anthony.
I disagree because it's going to sound harsh, but like, making a bad judgment call because of a lack of information is still bad judgment, even though it might not be your fault necessarily. The tools, unless you were, I don't even want to go that far, deliberately lied to, but like taking the time to research something and sit down, especially if you are paying money, if you're paying thousands of dollars, that's a big decision to make. Like, you know, maybe not coaching related, but like a purchase that a lot of people make that costs thousands of dollars, buying a car. You know, exercise your good gut judgment when you are making sort of these big decisions. Try to get as much knowledge as possible to sort of mitigate these things. And the information about, you know, the International Coaching Federation is out in the open. It's public. It's searchable. Now, that being said, you have the opposite end where schools are defined. And you kind of have to, like, use your discernment as to what is a good school or a bad school. But just because you make a bad judgment call doesn't make you a bad person. Is
it sounds like you're underwater, by the way.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. So, like, at the end, it was like, it just sounded like you were slowly lowering yourself into a tank of water.
Do I sound better now?
Yeah.
When you would get close to the mic, it seemed to help. The thing I want to kind of pick on a little bit, the thing that we're still doing is making a decision of discernment with our judgment. We don't find till after the fact whether it's a good judgment or a bad judgment. So we might have a lot of information, but until we do the walk, one doesn't know. So how does that resonate with what you're saying?
I mean, that's just it. Like, it is a bad judgment call that you made, and that's something that people just have to live with and maybe learn from going forward.
I don't know if it's necessarily a bad judgment call. Yeah. What I would argue differently is that you can use your best judgment in that moment, right? What did that sound? If everybody mute themselves if at all possible, okay, and then I will see if it's me. Okay, so we can use our best judgment in any given situation, and that once, if we're making a decision and stepping into the unknown, that is going to come with it, bring with it a degree of risk, right? So we're going into it doing the best that we can, using our best judgment with the best and most information we can to make a choice. Are there things we may not know, or what things we may not, I mean, as thorough as we can be as human beings, there are always things we are not aware of or in control of. So that choice, when you use your best judgment, might result in outcomes that are not ideal. But I don't think it means you didn't use your best judgment. What I think it means is that you now have experience, perhaps, to hopefully have even better judgment in the next decision, or better knowledge of what your next choice will be. But I think that maybe where we're misstepping in this is we're using the words good and bad, which is very polarizing, right? So I think changing the language from good and bad to best, right? And worst.
True, but I've also observed people close in my life and some family members.
There have been moments I've used my worst judgment, I'll tell you that.
I've noticed some people's best judgments are just worse than other people's worst judgments.
Say that one more time.
Some people's best judgments are just flat out worse than other people's worst judgments.
From your perspective, but yes, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I understand.
Yeah, from my perspective, but you know, there's some
trying really hard not to be judged.
Yeah, people make some really bad decisions sometimes with their lives that, you know.
There's just a funny psychology here, though. Can we just address the funny psychology? Like, because even as you're sharing, right? Mm-hmm. And Anthony's sharing a very honest thing. Like, we can look at people and people's lives and say, okay, this is what I want for, and this is actually, I can speak from personal experience, and I, in some degree on this, is this is one of the things where I was trying to figure out with when my sister was in a really bad place, resolving some things with her and where she was and her choices and the choices she was making for herself, and that they made no sense to me. And they sometimes made me feel crazy. And I really felt like she was using horrible judgment. And I think she would, even today, as doing a better human being, we've had conversations about the reverse, she can attest, where she knows she wasn't making the best of choices, but she also wasn't well. So there's like a whole other thing there that we've got to take into account. But that's that, looking from an outside perspective, we can look and say she's making horrible decisions. She's found herself homeless and on the street and all of these things. But we can make this grand sweeping judgment. But what's interesting is, even as Anthony's sharing all of this, for to bring it back around, we can see this, and so I function better in society. So we can say that my best judgment is probably better than somebody who is not functioning well in society's best judgment, and we can make these judgment calls along the way. But we feel uncomfortable. I see all of us feeling icky and uncomfortable about making these statements and making these judgments. And it's such an interesting psychology, this feeling of not wanting to be judgmental, not wanting to be a person that judges, and sort of you're on this tightrope walking while at the same time making constant judgments. And because it's inescapable. We judge, we do. It's how we get through life. It's an evolutionary construct. Thoughts?
Can we talk for a second about the client that really judges themselves harshly and brings that into the session a lot? I'm just curious, what does everyone do with that client? How do you coach them?
Well, that's so limiting belief.
Yeah, and also if we're working with the idea that like a judgment is sort of like the final verdict on something, that doesn't really, that kind of stops the coaching session. That's like putting the brakes on a person, where your job as a coach and you're partnering with the client is to like go somewhere and do something or achieve some sort of goal, where if the person keeps on pumping the brakes and making these judgments, which it's kind of bad now that I think about it, because my assumption is when I talk about these judgments is the client is saying, I can't, or I'm not good enough. That is probably not always the case, where clients make positive judgments about themselves saying, I can do this, I will do this, this is a good thing that I'm doing. So I'm only speaking about negative judgments.
So yes, it's important to differentiate, because I love the idea of a coach trying to make their client more realistic. Are you sure that you can?
Well, which is part of the job.
But before we go there, like, you had said, hold on, wait. Oh, I lost my thought. You interrupted. I completely lost my thought. We were sharing about judgments and what
clients judging themselves.
Judging themselves. Which is interesting, because you bring in that one of the things you have talked about is this feeling of finality. And I think that that's us talking about that is kind of a gift in this moment, because we can bring up that absoluteness, that finality-ness. So when a client is judging themselves harshly and saying, I am this, I can't this, we can match them back with those, are you always that? Can you never do that? And sort of match them with the, by making that judgment about them, or asking around that judgment about them. Is there ever, I fail at things all the time, always. I'm a failure. Are you always a failure? Can you think of one time when you've not? And what does that do? That removes that finality, that final judgment, that it takes away the absoluteness of what I think. And as we were discussing this, I really think that that's why we hate judgment so much, because it feels like an absolute. It feels like when somebody says you are something, you're going to be that something in their eyes forever, or you, or there's something in you that says, I am that, and you can't escape that. And when you get rid of the finality of that, it really takes away the power of that judgment. You know what? In this situation, I might be an asshole, but I can tell you 15 other situations where I'm not an asshole. And so I'm not always an asshole.
Sorry. I think having that in your pocket is a really important, thing, in asking that finality kind of question. It kind of goes into what's her name? Byron Katie's The Work. Those are great ways to turn that around. Another way that many times I've used in a session is, how does that serve you? And their first answer always is, it doesn't. I understand that, but how does it? And then they sit in thought for a few moments, and they can come up with their answers. Well, here's how it serves me. It keeps me from having to commit to, whatever their answer winds up being, it they find their answer. And once they realize how it has served them, it's kind of shadow work a little bit too. Once they realize how it has served them, then they can make a decision. Usually it's an easier place to then make a decision to rectify that change as they see it needs to be. So in that self-judgmental behavior, they found their judgment and what the education is around it so that they can change that pattern.
I really love that concept, that asking. I think that's such a, it's hard. That is a hard hitting question, because that's, you're having to face your demons at that point, right? It's you are having to take responsibility when you ask somebody who is calling themselves, saying, you know, I'm a failure. How is it you saying that to yourself serving you? How is that benefiting you? What is that doing for you? And if you sit and have to be really honest, like you said, they'll start to, well, I don't have to commit to things. I don't have to. Wow. Well, you're being real honest with yourself right there all of a sudden, aren't you? It's a very powerful tool. Scary almost, because I think a lot of us don't want to face those things, the things that we tell ourselves and the reasons that we do. It's much easier to sort of hide in the judgment sometimes than it is to have to change.
And I haven't had one person answer that without the disclaimer and having to add that piece, you know, but them, I'm starting to get a little emotional. I don't know why, but them recognizing that they're in a safe space and they can really show their heart and shine it in that moment can allow some amazing decisions to be made and patterns to recognize and adjust. If, you know, it's really becomes a beautiful thing.
What do you guys think about the concept of when you judge someone, you're actually judging a piece of yourself that you haven't acknowledged or accepted? How does that land with us?
I will, 1,000%. I will 100%. Like my dad grew up, when one finger is pointing at you, when you're pointing one finger, three fingers are pointing back at you. So very much. I mean, he was a punk rocker.
Hey Jen, can you go into a little bit more detail of what you mean by that?
Yeah. So like if I'll give you a perfect example. I was watching this YouTube video about a trip I want to take, and the girl in the video was just gorgeous, and she was like dressed to the nines out in the woods, and I was like, why is she dressed like that? She's in the woods. Oh my God, she looks ridiculous. And I was really like heavily judging this girl for being so fixed up in the woods. So in this concept, it would be that I'm judging really a piece of me that still cares about the way I look.
Yeah.
That's what it's really about for me. It's not about her. She was a mirror to that piece of me that's still there.
Well, and that's what the things you don't like in other people are the things you don't like in yourself.
Yeah. I've got my opinion on this is, would it be something that's even worth mentioning, whether it be internally or out loud, if you didn't connect to it personally? That's kind of how I feel. So I would say, I think usually when someone's making a judgment call about someone personally, there is a bit of a reflection for themselves.
But I will also say though, that might be, so there's a you lose some practicality in that though. I think philosophically it works, but like, if I'm somebody who, there may have been a time in my life I didn't like being, or I was late. I would be, there might be times in my life I am late. Do I want to hang out with people that are late all the time? And like, you know what I mean? And like, so like, there are things there where I might make a judgment call. You know, am I going to hire somebody that's going to be an hour late or 30 minutes? Probably not. And that's not because I'm a person that is late, but it might be because I'm somebody that values timeliness. Yeah. So it is, there is a reflection there, and I have done the work to, I've done the work maybe to ensure that I am timely. And so it bothers me when other people do not do the same or respect my time in the same way.
Yeah.
Do I think that that's a reflection that deep down in me is somebody that, you know, is, I can be somebody who is not on time. And I do get mad at myself when I am not on time. I absolutely will, you know, get frustrated with myself, unless it's really out of my
Let me interrupt you just for a minute, because what you're saying is it doesn't necessarily translate that way. If I'm not wanting to hire somebody to be late, does not necessarily mean that it equates, because what I can do to change that thought is I could say, take it in as a negative thought. Well, they don't value me. Versus have it anything to really do with timeliness per se.
Yeah, well, but it also loses water for me in some other cases too, like when you're dealing with manipulators or when you're dealing with people who outright know how human beings work and will manipulate those aspects in us to get results for themselves. And that for me is not, because it's a reflection of who I am. And this is coming from somebody who is a victim, right? I had to work through being calling myself victim. That's hard to do. But there was something freeing for me when I was able to accept that there are just some people who aren't good human beings and do things that are, I there's nothing that, it's not a reflection of me. That is not his actions are not a reflection of my actions, and who I am. And so, like, that's where it starts. That I think that there is something to that. In, I absolutely do, but I don't think that it is 100% applicable in every situation. Yeah.
Right. So, Anthony, do you see an application opportunity for that concept at all?
About, like, I've been sort of masticating my thoughts since you asked that first question. So, I got to ask you, what do you mean? Which concept are you
referring about- to? The one about if you are judging someone, you're actually judging a piece of you.
As a blanket statement, I don't think that's true. I only think that's true if, because I believe people judge people for a lot of different reasons, and how you make your judgments varies with your ethical system, your moral compass, your beliefs about what a judgment is. So I think that's only true for the people who have that sort of psychology that, you know, you're, if I'm the kind of person who's going to judge, make judgments about myself, I'll also judge other people, and that sort of reflection happens. But that's not, I don't think that's always the case in any, for every person or every situation. Like Brooke said, there's a certain point where, you know, your judgment of a person is sort of the end point of when you stop, you know, caring, or maybe you stop wanting to put in the mental effort to like figure the reasons out why things are, because it's not a good utilitarian like way of thinking about things. Like at some point you have to stop the mental effort and make a judgment call about someone or something and move on with your life.
Right. When we're judging somebody else, we're really perseverating a lot about something or somebody that's like out of our world and our control and our realm. And so I think that that's where, you know, it does sort of come back to that, what you said, Jen, is if somebody's putting that much time and energy into somebody else and their life, I mean, there must be a deeper reason for that. An emotional reaction or like judgmentalness.
The example that you gave, Jen, about the woman in the woods who's all dolled up, and like I made my own judgment, but I in no way think my judgment of her reflects myself. My judgment of that was, well, she's, and how did you see this woman dressed up in the woods? Where did you run across this?
I thought she's at, it's an ad. That's, and then I thought, oh,
it's a it was a YouTube video. I was looking up like this place I want to visit.
And oh yeah. Okay. So that was my assumption then. So my judgment was, well, she's not actually, you know, hiking for hiking's sake. She has some ulterior motive, which is making the YouTube video, which is why she needs to look nice, which is my judgment on that, was there's something else that she's trying to get out of looking good. There's my judgment.
I just pictured her like in a ball gown with sparkly fairy wings.
She was in a full dress with this big hat, and she had she was just dolled up. I mean, it just frustrated me because I know what it's like in the woods, and that those shoes, no, honey, like it was not practical. She was going to injure herself, or something bad was going to happen.
Concerned.
So, I was genuinely concerned for her.
Jen, though, you just expressed something that I did not express in my judgment, which was an emotion. You said you got frustrated. I didn't really feel that sense of frustration, which maybe if I had to make a judgment where I was emotionally involved or frustrated or annoyed or pissed off, which I do very often, you guys know that. It might be a reflection of myself, but I don't really believe it to be that way, which is important for coaches, though, because when your client is making a judgment, you shouldn't bring your assumptions to the table as to why they're making that judgment.
Yes.
Or why they believe a decision's bad or not. So, like Vicky made a comment earlier, there's no such thing as a bad decision. While that might be true to yourself, and that could be true objectively speaking, your client might not believe that's the case. And they might honestly believe there are bad decisions and there are good decisions, and I made a bad decision, and that's why I'm here, you know, trying to be coached, because I want to make better decisions towards my goals.
Yeah.
So the assumptions that you bring to the table about why people make judgments, you kind of have to leave that at the door as a coach, because that could very much taint the way you coach somebody.
Well, I think
without realizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And whether or not they're good or bad. The other thing too is you have to, on some level, in a coaching session, respect the judgments of your client. Mm-hmm. and respect their judgment. Because if you come in, they come through the door and you tell them their judgment is crap, it's not going to go well. You can get there. You absolutely can get there. You can work to that point and they can figure it out, you know, but like, it's never going to go over very well. Mm-hmm. So you have to respect it. And also really, truly, as we're sharing, I'm thinking about the things and the moments in me that I still have feelings of judgment. And I was sort of doing internal inventory, and there are. And why do I have judgments? Why do I have these judgments that I still, and they're the ones that I still have some, that make me nervous or make me scared or make me feel something. And in all of those cases, it's because I have an experience attached to it. And I have an experience attached to it that was a negative one. And one that hurt me. One that somehow got under my skin enough that now I apply a judgment. Because it's gonna, why? Because I don't want to feel that way again. I don't want to go through that again. So now I'm trying to protect myself. So,
or it's a quicker way to make those decisions to protect yourself. You don't have to, it's not a new experience to you anymore. If you see the signs of something you don't like, you make the judgment.
But I'll also make the judgment in certain situations to consciously set those judgments aside for specific people in specific situations. And because I don't want to make my world smaller, and I would rather make my world bigger. Even though there are definitely situations where I still go, I'm making my world smaller. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not messing with that again. You know what I mean? Like, I just, so it is, it's a weird space.
So either way you look at it, you're evaluating whether it serves you or it doesn't serve you. And that's what we're helping our clients do as well. Will this serve me here based on what experience of the world I have? Does it not serve me here? And all of that's part of that coaching session. I was thinking about when you were talking, it's take nothing personal, that four agreements or five agreements that we reflect on many times, that take nothing personal is like one of the hardest things to do, and still a definite work in progress. I've gotten decent at it, but when I'm in my best place, I can go there rather quickly. But on an off day, it's harder to get out of that. take nothing personal. And yet that is a decision I have allowed. If I'm in that space where I am taking it personal, I've somehow given permission to that other person. I'm assuming it's the other person, right? To have more power over me than me taking my empowerment of who I am and not allowing somebody else to tell me who I am and who I'm not.
Well, it can be really easy to take nothing. Okay, so like real life experience, real world experiences, it can be really easy to say, well, just don't take it personal, right?
Yeah.
But when that person is saying that stuff to people that you maybe are in your circle, or in, when you've got somebody that is openly essentially bullying you, defaming you, saying things about you that you don't seem to be true, and you have no control, yeah, it's very hard to not take a moment and do a per, if you're a good, yeah, human being, if we're not, mm-hmm, sociopaths, when somebody says something about us, makes a judgment, we should all, I would imagine, turn internally and ask, am I this?
Yeah.
How am I reflecting this? How am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Why does this person feel this way about me? And I think we would be remiss not to try to understand where that other human being is coming from and why it is they are making that judgment about us as people, and sort of do an internal inventory. I also really think one thing that we should mention in this is we are talking about conscious judgments in all of this and everything, but we have a lot of unconscious judgment that happens. And so having that moment of being able to do your self-assessment and that, am I being judgmental? Is this being, am I making judgments? What are my, and that's, it's this constant, it's work. You've got to have awareness and to bring awareness to your thought processes and have this open internal awareness dialogue as a coach. Mm-hmm. Am I making judgments? Am I being judgmental? Am I judging my client? Could this be my experience coming in? And it's important that I think it becomes easier. It might become harder with more experience. You never know.
I think it's easier because you find tools and techniques that assist you with that process, but keep going.
But you've got to just keep going with those assessments. Well, I always worry because with expertise often comes inflexibility. And so sometimes what happens is we'll get used to doing things a certain way, and we don't realize that what we're doing might be have a judgment, and then it becomes harder to identify and change that. So, but that's it, the continuous sort of self-assessment and openness and awareness. There have been times in my life I have thought about welcoming judgment, like, what do you think about? I'm sure we've all done this at some point or another, like, right? Like, so what do you think about me? Who do you think I, like, we all kind of, why do you think we take personality tests? Why do you think, like, we want to sort of assess how we're being judged out there in,
yeah,
the world?
Yeah.
We're all scared because we don't want to necessarily face the negative things, right?
Which is also why I believe that anytime you take a personality test, your friends and family should take it for you.
Yeah, your closest family.
Because really, no. you're just trying to like figure out how you want to see yourself.
Yes, right.
You're like an intelligent person. You get other people to judge you, and then you get to see the real you.
Actually, in business coaching, what you're talking about, they do. That's what they do. The 360s or even the 10-10s. They have. It depends on how they break it up, but they usually have. If let's call it a committee. Let's say it's the committee that does sales, the sales force committee, and you have the management system. The sales force will go in and answer about the management system. So that's what they do.
If you're a manager and you got a coach coming in, you better be ready. You better be ready because you're going to be assessed. You're going to be judged. You're going to be told what you're doing wrong. But it's same with your team as well. Like, it's, but the way, I mean, it's really cool. Some of the ways, like if they've got a good assessment system, they'll go into motivations. And they'll figure out what motivates and what how to get your to work and what situations to put them in. So they'll like excel, and it can be a very awesome and helpful situation. But I think though, let's I'm not going there. we're going to be finishing up. I just want to ask a question. It'll be a fun last question. So do you guys have final thoughts before to the fun last question? What are your final thoughts?
I was reflecting on the fashionable woodsy girl. And I think that I value authenticity. And I didn't feel like that was an authentic representation of what it's like to go on this trip and be out in the woods and do all this stuff. And so I think it frustrated me because I felt like she was misrepresenting the experience, because if you go out like that, you're effed. Like, you're really screwed.
You're really worried about the other people too. Like, you're like, people are going to hurt themselves because of this woman. She is setting people up with false expectations. This is...
maybe there is a little piece of me that I can do that shadow work on. Like, I still care about the way I look, and that bothers me. I kind of judge that piece of me. Okay, that's real. But also, there was a practical thing about this that it bothered me.
100% fair. 1,000% fair. Absolutely, it's fair. It's kind of one of the things that I've asked myself, even like when I go and we had a photo shoot for working out, and like that was the whole conversation, like, and it was like, we don't want you guys wearing full faces of makeup, because that's not real. That's not how people work out. But we don't want you to feel ugly. Like, so it's like, you're
oh, don't be ugly. Oh my gosh. I don't want you to be ugly, but.
Is it feel ugly? Feel ugly. So funny final or weird final question. Maybe it might be personal. How would you like to be judged, and how are you afraid to be judged?
Is that funny? That can get deep.
Yeah, that's not a funny question.
We don't have a whole lot of time.
Definitely not funny.
Not funny. Not funny. Not funny. Well,
I think I can answer quickly, but it's definitely a more in-depth answer. The things I'd like to be judged on are the things I feel empowered and strong with, and the things that I don't want to be judged on are my weaknesses and my handicaps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depends. I'd say sometimes I'd like to be judged on my weaknesses and handicaps, because those are some things that I can certainly improve on sometimes if I have the ability to do it. That's something that realistically can be improved. I appreciate that. But, you know, I also would like for you to mix in some of the good qualities when you're judging me, because I think, you know, consistent mentioning of all the handicaps in my life or the deficiencies that I might have, that may not be so useful. I might go to a space where I'm no longer even able to go ahead and improve any of those areas. So, yes, Lisa said kindness critique.
I will say this: if you're somebody that's going out there and trying something and you're struggling and you're sucking at it, I'm still going to give you tons of credit for like putting yourself out there and doing something that maybe you're not used to or it makes you uncomfortable. That might actually make me like want to get to know you better. Like, you know what I mean? That you're like, oh no, I suck at this, but I'm here and I want to learn more about it, and I'm okay with sucking at it. I'm going to probably immediately be drawn to the person that's fumbling through but trying their best than the person that is always a 1+ star number one. Yeah. I'm going to like the one that's probably fumbling a bit, because I can laugh with them. Like, they're real. Like, you know what I mean?
That authentic person definitely has more attraction than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I have the answer to this question. So I think that I would like to be judged on my energy. I would like people to say, I don't like your energy, or I do like your energy. Like, I want to hear that. I'm interested in that judgment and that feedback, very much so. That matters to me. But I do not want to be judged on my appearance. For whatever reason, I really would like you to not have an opinion of anything about the way I look.
Okay.
Now we know Jen's weakness.
Noted. That's fair. Thank you for
sharing. Quick for me, mine's kind of practical. I would like to be judged on the value that I bring to the table, the my wins and achievements, or the things I'm currently trying to achieve. I would not like to be judged by all the failed starts that I've had of things that I wanted to start doing or wanted to try to do and then just never did because I'm a lazy, you know, POS. All those, luckily, people...
Judgment of yourself, Anthony.
It is. It is. But luckily, people don't really notice those things anyways because you never started them. But I keep a mental tally of like, I said I was going to do this and then I never did. That's a knock 10 points for me. But I would like to be judged on the things that I'm trying to achieve currently and have already achieved because that makes me look good to other people. Yeah, that's it.
Brooke. So Anthony is saying the same thing we've all said, including Jen. We don't want to look bad unless we're with safe people. Then we're feeling like if we're, if you will, among that tribe, that safe person, we can be authentic with. So I think we've all said the same thing.
I don't want to be authentic with anyone.
I would like to be judged anytime. In any way, I would like to be judged as a whole human being. I would like to just be given a chance. I don't want to be judged before you've ever met me, before you ever you know who I want to be judged once I have failed you. Like I want to at least be given the opportunity. Like don't rob me of the chance. And that's really what
don't rob you of the chance to fail me. To
fail or succeed or what have you, but not giving me the chance is for some reason that's out of my control, that will drive me insane. But if you give me the chance, at least give me the chance to succeed or fail. Don't judge me before I even am given the opportunity. The other side of that too, though, is also I don't want to be judged on my humor because sometimes it can be.
Oh yeah. Actually, I'm going to add that one to my things I've said.
Is there a moment where I can just be a goofball, a spaz? I can say things that are inappropriate. I can say, and if in those moments I was forever judged, I am, you know.
Yeah, actually, if I die and one of you can, just please delete my browsing history, my Google searches, my private messages. My phone messages, just delete it all.
I think I've got one that I kind of just piggybacked off of Lisa's. So here's one I know for just, I guess, to hopefully close this out lightheartedly. Don't judge me on the amount of hot sauce I put on my food. Mom does it all the time, and I, you know,
how much is that? Like,
so well, I would say it just goes on everything, you know.
Jerome, I'm not judging you, I'm not judging you. I'm judging the food.
That's the thing. My mom is going to, she'll kill me for it, but I'll do it anyway, is she'll spend all day cooking something. And then I immediately go for the hot sauce bottle and she's like, you got to taste it first. And I'm like, no, I don't. No. I want hot sauce on this.
That's a good cayenne judgment. Pepper. Mine's cayenne pepper, not hot sauce, but just the cayenne pepper.
Because it has a different feeling that some food just doesn't give you. You want your mouth to hurt.
Yes.
And sometimes mom's cooking does do that.
Spice the flavor.
What if your mom made it and said this is insanely spicy? Would you still put hot sauce on it?
Still adding hot sauce to it. And then I'm judging myself for how my stomach's gonna feel later. So
yeah.
Alrighty.
Okay, that should wrap it up then. Thank you all for watching.
Want to be judged on?
Oh, I thought he already said. Whoops.
What do I want to be judged on personally? For my good days and not my bad days. There you go. That's a pretty general one. I think we all have our bad days, so hopefully you catch me more often than not on my good days.
You know, good days and bad days, that's just a judgment.
And, you know, go ahead and judge. Feel free to judge, but at least give me... It's when I don't get the chance. Like, you can make all the judgments in the world about me, but... It's that finality thing. It's that it will drive me. It quick drives. I mean, it's frustrating. Very frustrating.
I'm totally in agreement with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then I have to go. Okay, let it go. Let them think. Whatever.
It doesn't happen that quickly, though.
I know. I'm
trying to be better.
All right.
We're not judging you guys out there unless you don't like, subscribe, and check out Certified Life Coach Institute. At which point, if you go to any other school, we are passing immense amount of judgment. we are questioning your intelligence, and we are wondering why you did not go with a far superior solution to your life coaching needs. So check out Certified Life Coaches. It's Certified Life Coaches in 3 days, and thank you for watching.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Once again, this is brought to you by Certified Life Coach Institute. We're an ICF accredited school who certifies our life coaches in 3-day online intensive courses. In addition to other podcast episodes, feel free to check us out every Tuesday at 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time on YouTube or Facebook for our CLCI Lives, where we get together and discuss various topics that are centered around sharpening your skills so you can become a better certified life coach. For more information, feel free to visit us at CertifiedLifeCoachInstitute.com. Until next time, be well.